Welcome back. I'm Gary Parr.
And I'm Christine Williams.
You're listening to Fiber Talk, that twice weekly podcast for people who stab cloth with needles.
I think that's my favorite so far.
Yeah, I'm going with that. Yeah. Returning to us, the first person we ever had on a Fiber Talk podcast, and now returning for the fourth time, I believe, Debbie Raleigh. Hi, Debbie.
Hey, Gary. Hey, Christine. Welcome. I'm completely gobsmacked that y'all want to talk to me again. I love it, and I'm grateful, and I'm always happy to talk to you guys, but it's just like, okay.
Hey, yeah, why not, you know? Why not?
Well, why not?
Yeah.
We've ended every other time before saying we need to do this again.
Yes.
So, okay, we're doing it again.
Yep. For those who don't know, Debbie Raleigh, Debbie's Designs, counted canvas needlepoint designs, not suck it up to her, but my all-time favorite designer. Got a whole stack of your stuff. Yep.
Oh, well, thank you.
Love what you do.
I'm working on one of your pieces right now, so.
Oh, which one are you doing?
I am doing Black Magic.
Oh, my goodness. Christine, you are the most ambitious. You started with Diamond Delight 10, which is not an easy piece. And now you're doing Black Magic, black canvas. Oh, my goodness.
Yes. And I am having so much fun. So this is my, I'm home from work and I can't do, so I was doing a surface embroidery piece and it required too many, I had to make too many choices.
Yeah.
Right. So this was, I needed something that had instructions. So I've had this piece, sitting for a while and I finally decided to pick it up and it is definitely challenging, I will say. But it's exactly what I need because it takes a lot of focus to do. And yes, black canvas is its own animal for sure, but I am having so much fun stitching it.
Good.
Because each motif is just, it's just so much fun. So I'm having a great time.
Well, and as always, if you run into any problems, be sure and email me or give me a holler and I'll help you out with it.
I will. I feel like the black canvas is just, there's so many things to learn about doing that itself. You know, it's just so different than stitching on white. I didn't realize how different it would be until I started doing it. And I think it's a little bit of a struggle, but I think it's worth it because the effect that it's having is remarkable.
I love the way things look on black canvas.
Mm-hmm.
You know, my partner, Mary Knapp, with Any Larts Mystery Retreat, she always stitches on black canvas and she always uses the bright neon colors and they just pop off of the black canvas.
Yeah.
But as much as I love the way it looks, I don't love it enough to work on black canvas very much.
Yeah, it's hard. It's really hard.
I love that. I don't love it enough.
I have a light over my left shoulder and a light over my right shoulder and an overhead light and something white in my lap and then a light mm-hmm. attached to the stretcher bars and everything. And it's still not enough light.
Yeah.
And so I just, life is too short. There are plenty of other things I can stitch on and I will just admire people that want to stitch on black canvas and I will admire what they've done.
So one of the things that I looked when I started, I Googled tips for black canvas. So that's how basic I was going. One of the things that I read, and I've been doing this sort of on and off, depending on what I'm doing, is I'm using a tiny little desk lamp underneath the canvas because it's showing me where the holes are. Sometimes it's better to just see the sort of highlights, like the mm-hmm. topography of the canvas. And then other times it's better to see where the holes are. So I'm kind of toying with that. And sometimes it's better and sometimes it's not.
Yeah, I've tried it with a light underneath the canvas, but it shines up in my eyes too much and it makes it worse.
That's the problem.
Light cast onto something reflective and white in your lap would mm-hmm. provide enough of the to make the holes stand out better.
Right. Or I was thinking of trying to figure out a way to make it a diffuse light, right? Like putting further away or having it shine through like a pillowcase or something. But either way, it's really fun.
There's an app I ran into the other day that makes a light box out of your tablet.
Oh, that's smart.
And now when you said diffuse light, I immediately thought of that. You might try that.
Yeah, that would work great.
Yeah, because a tablet wouldn't be very heavy and it would sit on your lap pretty well. Unless, now, don't you stitch kind of sitting cross-legged in your bed?
Yeah, this one I do. I was thinking about putting this one on a stand. I can put it on a stand.
But I've been kind of tipping. Piece.
It is. And I've kind of been playing with it, you know, turning it around a lot to stitch it. So I could put it on a stand though. And that's kind of what I've been liking about it, is I've kind of experimented with a lot of different ways of just, not so much the stitching, but just different ways of stitching. So on a stand, off the stand, with a light underneath, with a light over, you know, just different ways of doing things.
Right.
So it's been kind of fun.
Yeah. And you know, just because I stitch things a particular way, I almost always stitch on EverTight stretcher bars with a frame so that my hands are free, but there's a reason why I do that. But just because I do it that way doesn't mean that's the only way that it can be done, because I know a lot of people who like to stitch on a scroll frame. It's not my preference because I can't get the canvas tight enough. And I know people who like to stitch in hand. I know people who do other kinds, you know, they stitch other kinds of ways. For me, having a frame to hold my canvas is the best, because I get a lot of hand fatigue if I'm trying to hold the stretcher bars.
Yeah.
And so I want to avoid that, because, you know, if your hand starts hurting, you can't stitch.
Right. Right. Yeah, I can see that. So, yeah, that's why I'm just sort of playing with it a lot.
Yeah.
The other thing, it's not a frustration, it's just sort of a thing that I'm noticing with this, is that the black canvas is unforgiving with things like lint. So I have a white blanket on my couch, and the white blanket and the black canvas don't play well together. So
I have two Shelties.
Right. So
And so there's dog hair everywhere. I was at my dog's house for Easter for the weekend, and she has a tea towel hanging on her stove that says dog hair is both a condiment and a fashion accessory.
There you go. That's excellent. So my latest sewing tool now is a lint roller that is sitting there next to my scissors, because pretty much the whole time, because I don't care that it's there, but I want to make sure I don't stitch it in. Right. So I kind of go over the area where I'm stitching pretty frequently to make sure that I'm not stitching it in, because that will be, you know, it'll be tough to get it off at that point. So,
yeah, I always have a pair of tweezers beside where I'm stitching, so that if I see a dog hair, I can pull it out before it gets stitched too far into the canvas.
There you go. See, and these are things, you know, there's lots of people that talk about stitching in these pristine environments and, you know, keeping everything perfect, and it's just not feasible for me to do it. So I like this way of going about it, where, you know, you learn tricks to remedy things as you go.
Well, you know, if I needed to be in a clean room in order to stitch, I would never stitch.
Yeah.
It just wouldn't happen. My dogs are usually sitting on the couch beside me. And, you know, if it's the wintertime, I have a blanket on my lap, and I like to stitch in my recliner with my feet up while the TV is on. I mean, stitching to the Olympics was fabulous. And but now we have baseball, and baseball is also great to stitch to.
Yes. Who were we talking to just the other week? We were talking to somebody, what's the best sport for stitching?
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. A favorite subject. Yeah. Baseball. I think we concluded football was ideal because they replayed everything.
Yes.
Well, they do in baseball too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's true.
I mean, they replay a lot. And, you know, our house is kind of weird because I'm not a real sports fanatic. I know a lot of women who are. I'm not one of them. And the sports that my husband likes to watch are not the norm, because he likes Formula One racing.
Ah.
And there's not a whole lot of people who watch Formula One racing, but I can tell you all about it. I can tell you who the drivers are. I can tell, because it's not just a single race. It's over a whole weekend. And you know, here again, it's really good to stitch to, because if something exciting happens, they replay it and talk about it several times. And so if you miss it, then you can you can catch up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And bicycling. We watch bicycling.
Yeah, now there's a lot of downtime with bicycling, yes.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yes.
You know, the Peloton is not really exciting unless somebody falls and takes 50 people out with them.
Isn't that the truth? Yeah. Yeah.
So,
just a bunch of guys riding in the country. Yeah.
Yeah. So those are the sports that we watch at our house. Although, you know, in the Olympics, I had no idea that there was that much curling in the Olympics.
Curling is fabulous.
We must have watched every game.
Mm-hmm. Curling is cool.
Curling is on again? I thought it was over. Oh, no. No, it's on again.
Yeah, we're big curling fans in our household as well. So we watched it here.
Well, and that was fun to stitch to. So there's always some things I can't stitch, like the snow cross, where they would have four or five people on snowboards racing down the hill at the same time.
Mm.
I had to watch that, you know, and each race only lasts a minute and a half. So it's not like it's that time consuming, but anyway.
Yep. Drag racing.
Yeah.
Yep.
That's not a favorite. Fan.
Yeah. I've gotten sucked into that. Yeah. It's the technology is amazing. So yeah. Love it.
Well, and you know, it's interesting that there are so many different, you know, because I know some stitchers that only watch college basketball. That's their sport. That's what they watch. And I know others that only want to watch professional football. And then I know others that only want to watch tennis or golf or whatever. And there's all kinds of things that people like to have on the TV while they're stitching.
Yeah. Well, I was looking the other night. I was sitting there combing through Netflix, and Marga said, "What are you looking for?" I said, "I'm looking for a movie I've seen 10 times that I only have to pay attention to half the time so I can stitch." And
exactly.
Yeah. And, but there has to be a lot of dialogue. It can't be, it can't be silent action scenes. So I have to look up and,
can't be a foreign film.
Yeah. No subtitles. That's the worst.
Oh yeah. You can't have that. Yeah.
That's impossible.
Yeah. I ended up on Hunt for Red October, which I've seen 100 times.
Oh, me too. Love that movie.
Yeah. And you can watch that 100 times and it never gets old.
Oh, yeah. I love it. See, I'm that way with the Aliens movies.
Yeah.
With Sigourney Weaver.
Oh.
I love those movies. I will watch them over and over and over again.
Closest I ever had to a heart attack was seeing that first Alien one in a theater. Margaret thought she was going to have to cart me out of there. Oh, I can't do those. I cannot do those. No. They're designed to scare you, and they get me every stinking time. Oh, I'll never see that movie again. Oh, it just about wrecked me. Yeah.
No. Well, see, and Jaws is the same way, because I remember going to see Jaws in the theater when I was a teenager. I was about to go to Hawaii for a month. Went with Rod.
Good timing on that.
About clawed his arm off every time the shark came up out of the water. I have seen that movie several times a year since it came out. And every time that shark comes up out of the water, I go, oh! And I know he's there. I know he's coming, and I still am surprised.
There's music to help you.
I know.
I mean, at some point it can't be a surprise.
At some point it can't be a surprise. But yeah, I'm the same way. I like to find a movie that I've seen dozens of times, because I can put that on in stitch.
Yeah. Yeah. So that's what it was. And then my others are like the Bourne movies with Matt Damon, Bourne Identity.
Yeah, I haven't seen those enough. Oh. I have to focus on those.
Oh, no, you can. Those are movies. Yeah. If you've seen them 4 or 5 times, then you can. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. But that's the key. So, yep. Hunt for Red October. That's kind of the go-to. I thought when I was doing that, I should make a list. Because I was just, you know how you search through Netflix and it just takes forever. And I should have a list so I can just search for a movie and then go to it. But that's advanced planning, and that's just not happening. So,
We should make a poll on Facebook and have everybody put in their suggestion of what's their go-to movie that doesn't take too much effort.
Wait a minute. I have a package of Nicola Parkman greeting cards. Okay, that's it.
Let's do it.
Comment this week on WeTalkFiber.com. And you can't do it on YouTube. You got to do it on WeTalkFiber.com. Comment on there. Give us a movie that you can stitch to without missing things and having to look up all the time. And we'll put in a drawing for Nicola Parkman, Hands Across the Sea Samplers, greeting cards. There we go. Good call.
Perfect.
All right.
Okay, excellent. So we all may get some wonderful ideas for things that we can stitch to.
Yes.
Yes.
Okay, there we have it. We need those movies.
So everybody wins.
Yes.
Yes.
We need the list. Okay, that's it right there. All right, now I got to move on because I have a question, and this is going to seem really inane and lame, but I was watching your videos, and we have to talk about your new video channel. It's not new,
okay.
But we have to talk about your video channel, but not right now. I was watching it because I'm about to tackle a couple of large double fan doubles, and so I needed serious review about how to do that because that's not something I do every other day.
Okay.
So I was watching your video. And then I moved on to another stitch in your video series there, and you were using the trolley needle as a laying yes. tool. And so I have to ask how you got to the point of doing that, because I have a trolley needle. Number one, it does not stay on my finger, and it's painful, and mine is different from yours. And how do you get so you're using that? And you were just using it. Obviously, you use it a lot because it was the motion was very fluid. So how'd you end up doing that, and what brand do you have? Because I want one like yours.
Well, okay.
Is it yours is probably endorsed and certified, right?
They're no longer available.
Oh, Debbie, come on.
Even better.
come on.
Okay. So I went to a creative arts and textile show. Or no, wasn't that. It was a stitching festival. It was back before the Creative Arts and Textile Show. Stitching festival in 1999 or 2000.
Oh, in either so we're, Knoxville, we're like Tennessee, historical
or,
now.
Or Dallas, Texas. And there was a lady there who was using, I forget, the perfect laying tool. That's not what it was called.
Best laying tool. Right?
No, I can't remember what it was called, but the company was Gripit, GRIPIT, Gripit. And she was demonstrating. I was totally fascinated, and I thought, okay, this would be awesome, because I was relatively new to stitching, didn't know very much about laying tools. I watched her, saw how she did it, and I bought one. Well, the thing that was it's a relatively simple thing. It is a tailor's thimble, which is a thimble that the top is gone. So it doesn't have
Okay.
And then there was a needle with a bend at the end soldered to the outside of this tailor's thimble. And they were available in sizes. Okay.
Oh my.
So I have freakishly small fingers. So I need a size 5. That's my thimble size. And they came in a variety. I think 5 was the smallest, but they came in a variety of sizes. But anyway, I think over the years I wound up buying maybe 10 of these because the needle, I would pull too hard and the needle would come off.
Oh,
well, so it was Lilas and Ralph. Can't remember their last names, but they were the ones that owned Gripit. They're both dead. So these particular the trolley needles are no longer available. The reason why I think that these are a better trolley needle than what is currently available is the ones that I've seen that are currently available, the needle is soldered to the inside.
Yes.
Of the, where it can rub on your finger.
Yes.
And set up discomfort.
Yes.
And what I liked about these is that the needle was soldered outside. Mm-hmm. And most trolley needles, the needle is straight. It doesn't have a bend in it. And I think having the bend at the tip makes it really good. So I was at a seminar 3 years ago, and I was using my trolley needle, and a couple of the other people that were in the class were familiar with this particular kind, and they were moaning because they had broken theirs and they wanted to get another one. And I said, I wonder if Jim at Colonial Needle could put these together. And so we did some research and found out that the patent has expired. So anybody could make these if they wanted to. And I contacted Jim, and he actually made me the one that I'm using now with a size 5 tailor's thimble and a size 18 tapestry needle with the bend in it. He has everything he needs in order to make these. I told him, I said, if you will make these, I will sell them for you. You can sell them, but I will take them to shows. I will sell out of everyone that I bring with me.
Mm-hmm.
But we haven't really gone anywhere with it. So I guess I might ought to contact him again and say, Jim, we've got to make these trolley needles. We've got to have them.
Yeah, you might ought to, because I want one.
Yeah. And it's funny, I'm looking at this because I had never heard of one, and it makes perfect sense to me because I hate using a laying tool, and I will often, embarrassingly probably, default to just using my finger.
Yeah.
I'll use the needle to sort of pick the threads into alignment, and then I'll just lay them over my finger. But using this would allow it to be much finer, and then not have my finger, because you worry about finger oils and things like that, affecting the threads. But this is exactly, it's all the benefit of the finger, all the agility, and not having to have something in your hand.
Right, because when I try to use a laying tool or a tekobari or something like that, it sets up hand fatigue. I've mentioned this already. And, if I'm having to hold that and try to manage, because I stitch with one hand over the canvas and one hand under the canvas, mm-hmm. and it's just much easier. I wear my trolley needle on the index finger of my left hand.
Yes.
Yeah, it seems less clumsy.
See, I have no trouble
using.
It
feels very natural.
Yeah, I have no trouble using a conventional laying tool. I mean, it doesn't bother me a lick. But then when I saw you doing that, and that's why I bought the trolley needle, was I thought, oh, this has got to be more efficient. But it hurt. That needle dug into my finger, and it's just why would anyone use this thing? And then seeing yours and having the bend in there, oh man, that's all the things right there.
Right. I mean, and it's very natural. Now, I do have a lot of people when they see me using my trolley needle, oh, I couldn't use that. I'd poke my eye out. I've been using this thing for 18 years. I have never poked my eye, not a single time. And, it's not that I'm wearing glasses or anything. It's just I haven't poked my eye out.
I would think you'd see that coming. I'm just guessing you'd see that coming.
I would think so. I would think so.
I'm just thinking.
And the thing about this is you can wear it depending upon the size that you can find. You can wear it on any finger. And I liked that these were sized so that I could get one small enough to fit my freakishly small fingers. But then they also would come, I think they came in size 5, 6, 7, 8, and 9.
Yeah. Okay, I got to have one. Because, see, the one that I bought is too small, and so it digs into my finger there, and then the needle digs into my finger, and finally I just put it back because I'm not using that. But then I looked at yours, and, I got to have one.
Yeah, you have two customers already, so.
Well, I will see if I can nag Jim some more because, Jim's a great guy. He's wonderful to work with, and he made these. He made these for me and sent them to me. And the first one that he sent to me, he had someone arc weld the needle to the outside of it, which was a little bit clumsy. And the needle was a size 14 or 16. It was too big.
Yeah. Send me his contact information. I'll bug him. Yeah, I will.
Well, I've told him, I said, there is a market for these. There really is a market for these. And he says, well, I've got the tailor's thimbles and I've got a gazillion needles because it's Colonial Needle. Hello. Oh,
there we go. Good tie-in.
Yeah. So yeah, I'll need to bug him again and see if I can get him to make some trolley needles that we can make available.
I have no idea what my thimble size is. I would never. It's the last thing on the planet I ever thought of was my thimble size. I don't know.
Go to Joann's. They should have sized thimbles there that you can try on.
And I could probably buy one with a coupon. And it would be, it would be 40% off, but it wouldn't be eligible. That would be my luck. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because it was already on sale or something.
Right. Yeah. I'll check with Arlene before I buy. Yeah. Okay. That's so I got to go there to get fitted for a thimble. And then, okay. I can play the game. Whatever. I want one. Yep.
Okay.
Yep.
Because it looked, just watching you use that, it was just too slick for words. Yep. Got to have that. Okay, so now we can talk about your video channel. So, really, the two I watched, but the Double Fan Doubled was the one that I just needed. I mean, it's been a while, and I'm about to do two great big ones. So I had to, I had to have some instruction, and I thought, oh, I bet you have one, and sure enough, you do, on how to do that. So you have a whole bunch of stitches on there, really, but they were, you did them as support for your different. Different designs, right? I mean, that was the original plan. And
Okay, so about 2 or 3 years ago, I was thinking about how best to conduct my in-person classes and my cyber classes. And Rod and I discussed it and decided, well, why don't we try making some videos? And so we were able to work things out, and we continued to refine it. I mean, some of our first ones are not as good as some of our later ones. And so we're continuing to refine the process. But they were designed, you know, my videos were to support my classes that I was teaching. And because when I teach a class, and I don't know if you've taken very many classes, but usually what happens is the teacher says, okay, now I'm going to demonstrate a stitch. Y'all all come up and gather around and look over. And I was just thinking, you know, because I've been in those classes, and it you can't see, you're trying to look at it upside down and then try to translate it to right side up onto your canvas. And, or either that, or the teacher has to demonstrate it over and over and over again until everyone in the class has had a chance to see it. And I thought, there's got to be a better way to do this. So that's when we decided to try the videos. So there's advantages for me doing it. I don't get flustered with 40 people watching me.
Yeah.
And so, and if I mess up, we can reshoot it. And that has happened. I have messed up and we've had to start over again. But then, you know, we can refine it and make sure that everything is sharp and in focused. Everybody can sit at their seat and watch the video. And I can replay it as many times as I need to. And like, for instance, when I taught angles at the New Orleans A&G seminar, I think we watched the Double Fan Doubled video 3 or 4 times in class. Because I would play it and I would say, do y'all want to see it again? Yes, I want to see it again. So I'd play it again. And, you know, the ones who had seen enough to start stitching, well, they just started their own stitching and they didn't, you know, continue to watch it. But the ones who needed to review it again could. And then after the class, I said, email me. I will send you the link to the video so you can watch it as many times as you need to. So, and then with my cyber classes that I do through Shining Needle Society, it's really good because they don't have the advantage of seeing someone demonstrate the stitch. They just have the written instructions and the diagram. And so the video helps some people the way that they learn. They need to see it. They need to see someone's fingers actually doing it. And so that way I'm able to provide that and they can watch it as many times as they need to. And I've got 2 parts of my YouTube channel. One part is public. And so as I make videos that I think are of general interest, I'll put them up on my YouTube channel. But some of them are sheltered in a private section, and it's kind of a value added for people who've taken the class. And so I have to send them a link so that they can see the videos for that particular class.
Well, yeah, the double fan double, that was really good. And plus, then you were upscale because you have an official counting pin to put in the middle. I use a ghetto toothpick. So
actually, I've started doing them with just a big tapestry needle because the head of the counting pin obscures the center and you can't really see how the threads lay next to each other.
I wondered about that because, yeah, you couldn't see. And I wondered how you got around that. Yeah.
Well,
okay.
Like I said, we continue to refine what we're doing.
Yeah.
And, you know, so I've done, you know, I tell my husband, because my husband is my cameraman and my sound engineer and the video editor and et cetera, et cetera. And so I'll tell him, I need
Sherpa.
To do another. Yeah, I need to do. Rod is really technical support for Debbie's Designs in all areas. And I wouldn't be able to do the things that I do without him. But anyway, so I'll tell him, I need to do another double fan double video. And he'll say, again? Because, you know, I have them that are diamond shaped that are done with two colors. And I have them that are square. And then I have them that are square that are done with four colors. And I have them that are diamond shaped where I have one double fan underneath and a double fan doubled on top. And so, because I said, you know, I can't assume that a student is going to be able to extrapolate the concept and apply it.
Right.
They have to see exactly what they need to do for this particular thing, this particular size, using two different colors of thread, if I'm using two different threads or using four or using one, they need to be able to see it exactly as it is in their project that they're working on.
Yeah. Well, that's, you know, and of course that's teaching 101. You know, anytime you have a class, you got people who learn by hearing, people who learn by reading, and those who have to see it. And
yes.
Yep. So you just provide all those and then that catches everyone. Yeah. Yep.
Exactly.
Well, it's well done. And the one I have to do is all one color, but I didn't care. I watched the two color one. For me, it was where to go over and where to go under is, mm-hmm. you know, that was the only thing. So, yeah. But I mean, it was just really well lit and I could see exactly what you were doing. And I was impressed that you only counted the number of threads once. Because I count two and three and four times. But no, Debbie just counts once and goes. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, and, you know, when I'm doing my videos, I don't know if you could see. I think the one that you were looking at was the one that I did for Crisscross that was in a diamond shape of roads, a diamond roads.
Yes, yes.
Outline. Mm-hmm. Okay. And so you don't need to count because it's filling up the whole area. But when I am doing just one without a border around it, I enlarge my holes for my first stitches.
Oh.
So that I'm not counting on camera. And those I do count two or three times to make sure that they're going to be correct. And I cross-check, you know, like that everything is lining up the way it needs to and symmetrical the way it needs to be so that it looks smoother on camera. But now I will say this, and I do tell my students this in class, it is much easier to do a double fan double if you don't look at the instructions.
I think you said that actually in Diamond Delight, that was your instruction was don't read too much and just kind of get in the rhythm of it and then you'll be fine. And I think that was the best instruction actually, because once you stop thinking about it and just go with it, it kind of all works out.
Well, yeah. And if you look at the canvas, at what the threads are doing on the canvas, they inform you of where your needle needs to go. I mean, mm-hmm. if you get the first round in, you know, get your base in and then get your first round in and then look at the threads and see how they, okay, this one is going over this thread. It's going under that thread. And so you just make it do that. And it's much, much easier.
Okay.
I agree.
All right. So there, you just go to YouTube and search for Debbie's Designs and you'll find it. And There's a bunch of them. Yeah, they're really well done.
Yeah, I'll be putting more up as I I feel like I am just going 90 miles an hour and not getting very much accomplished because, you know, we've just finished the proposal season for proposals for A&G and EGA national seminars and, you know, a couple of other things. And so I've been working like a demon trying to get proposals together for that. And then I just started, we just finished registration for a class that I'm offering through Shining Needle Society. So I was doing that. And now I'm working on the Needle Arts Mystery Retreat, trying to get that done. And my part's stitched, but I need to get the instructions written into the other teachers so that they can stitch it. And then, oh, well, then it'll be time to start to put kits together for my Shining Needle Society class. And then, oh, and I'm going to North Carolina to teach, and I'm going to Orlando to teach, and then I'm going to Syracuse to teach. And it's just... it just seems to be never ending, and like I'm just running from one fire to the next fire.
Yeah.
And not able to have that calm time where you sit and you stitch and you think about what am I going to do next and things like that. It's just breakneck speed, it seems to be, all the time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm fascinated by your what you call the proposal season. I don't think people realize how far in advance you have to complete a design and put together a proposal. Because, I mean, this year's American Needlepoint Guild thing is in August.
Yeah.
And you've already proposed for the next year, right?
Yes, and been accepted.
All right.
Excellent.
How many
I'll be teaching
are you
in
doing?
Houston. Two.
Two. Oof. Yay.
Yep.
So yeah, and, so that's. I mean, that's a lot of that you have to do really way in advance.
Way in advance. Way in advance.
Yeah. So you have you create new designs for each time, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. For A&G National and for EGA National, they have to be new, previously untaught designs. They do make allowances for encore designs that have been previously taught. But for the most part, what you're going to see at the national seminars are brand new teaching pieces that have not been taught anywhere before.
Yeah. Got to make them special.
Well, yeah. And I understand that. And I understand why.
Yep. But it's a lot of work.
It's a lot of work.
Yeah.
And, you know, I know when y'all talked to Gail Cerna, she said that she proposes and she waits until after it's been accepted before she stitches it.
Yes.
And, you know, of course, she's Gail Cerna and she can do that. I haven't been teaching all that long. And so I really feel like I need to have quite a bit more than just I think I'm going to do this. And then the committee go, oh yeah, that sounds great. You know, I need to show them threads, and you know, I've got my pieces that have been accepted for A&G National for next year have not been stitched yet, but they are up next in my stitching rotation. So because they have to be on display at this year's seminar.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's the deal. Oh, wow. You got to hustle because you're teaching this year too, right? So you got to get all that together too.
Yep.
Wow. And so those classes, did the classes, they're already sold out, I assume.
I don't know. I haven't seen class numbers. I know that there are some classes that have sold out, but so far as I know, the majority of classes are still available. So if people want to sign up, you should sign up.
Well, that's interesting because I just assumed, you know, 2 weeks after they announced them that they were just all gone. So,
No. And I believe that they show on the website the classes that are filled and the classes that are still available.
Okay. Hmm. All right. That intrigues me. Yeah. Needle Arts Mystery Retreat. Because when we were going to talk to you, I remembered, you know, we're dreaming about actually getting to warm weather up here. So that means that's coming up. And, you know, one of the coolest things is the four of you guys putting together a design that all works. And that's on the West Coast this year, right?
Yes, we're going to be in Riverside, California. We had hoped to be in San Diego, but there's this little thing the weekend after we wanted to be there called Comic-Con. And all of the hotel rooms were $400, $500 a night. And we just thought, you know, I just don't think this is going to work out that well.
No.
So we decided we moved up the road a little bit. We're going to be in Riverside.
Where hotels are more reasonable.
Much more reasonable. And we were able to get, you know, our teaching space that we need. And so that's where we're going to be. We're going to be in Riverside. We're looking forward to it. I'm really excited about my part of the design this year. And I've seen one of the other teachers' parts of the design, and it's very pretty. And so I'm excited about what we're doing. I'm looking forward to seeing the other two teachers' parts of the design. Linda said, she sent us all an email saying that she had her design and she was ready to start working on it, decided that she hated it and has had to start over again. And I completely understand that because I did that 1 year too. I thought I had everything all lined out. And the more I thought about it, the more I thought, I don't like this enough to stitch it. And so I started over.
Mm-hmm. Hard to sell it in front of a classroom full of people if you don't like it.
Yeah.
Well, you know, and that happens sometimes when, you know, you're working on a design and you think that it's going to work out okay, and you get to the actual stitching of it and, you know, maybe I didn't pick exactly the right colors for this or the right colors for that, and I just hate it by the time I'm done with it.
And that's okay. And you move on.
And you move on. But, you know, I will say that I have stitched a couple of teaching pieces, the last two things that I've stitched, and I absolutely adore them. I love them. I'm so excited. I can't wait to teach them.
That's good. Yay.
Yeah. Yay.
Yeah. Yay. Well, I was looking through your site, and the string of designs that you're teaching are, they're pretty darn good. I mean, I was looking at the ones that people can buy, you know, in a retail store, but right. Boy, that's, there's an extra level to the ones you're teaching. There's some really nice stuff in there. That Angles one is still a favorite of mine. Yeah.
Well, yeah, that I'm teaching that three times in a row. I'm teaching it in North Carolina in a couple of weeks, and then in Orlando, Florida in May. And then Syracuse, New York at an EGA regional seminar first weekend of June.
Hmm. Ghost stitching available for all those? Do you allow that?
Well, it's not up to me on the ghost stitching. Hmm. For those who don't know what a ghost stitcher is, it's someone who signs up for the class and pays the fees associated with the class but doesn't attend the class. And then they get the kit and the materials and everything after the class is finished. So it's up to the hosting organization I'm teaching in North Carolina and through a shop, and she did not want to allow ghost stitchers. So, okay, fine. I'm teaching in May at a shop, and I haven't checked with her to see if she will allow ghost stitchers or not. And then the EGA regional, usually a regional seminar or a national seminar, will not allow ghost stitchers because they need to have people there taking the classes mm-hmm. to help defray the expenses of all of the associate, you know, the banquet rooms and the exhibit rooms and the boutique rooms and everything else. And so they need to have people there. So I'm pretty sure that the EGA regional will not allow ghost stitchers. I am teaching in California in San Diego right before the mystery retreat, and that chapter will allow ghost stitchers. So, you know, it's just up to the hosting organization, what they will allow.
Yeah. And for a lot of people, you know, especially people who can't travel to a class, that's the only way to get your latest designs, because a lot of yours you mm-hmm. teach for a long time before you release them for retail.
Mm-hmm. I teach them until no one wants them. When the teaching, you know, like, for instance, angles. After I teach it in Syracuse, I don't have it scheduled anywhere. And so I will probably release it through Shining Needle Society as a cyber class sometime later this year.
Okay. Because that and help people understand where that how they get to the Shining Needle Society, because there's a lot of activity goes on there.
Yes, there is. Okay, it's free to join the Shining.
Yeah, I think people don't realize how valuable a resource that is.
It's fabulous, and you know, classes in all kinds of techniques. So the Shining Needle Society is free to join, and it is basically set up as a Yahoo group. So they have a web page, but a website, but I'm not sure how long it's been I'm not sure how current it is. But if you go to Yahoo groups and search on Shining Needle Society, it will come up and you'll see how to join the group. And it's free to join. It's just a matter of making sure that you're a live person and not a robot. And Kate will approve your membership. Then once you're a member of the Shining Needle Society, Kate Gaunt, who is the facilitator for Shining Needle Society and the administrator, periodically will send out announcements of classes. And you can, if there's a class that you're interested in, the announcement will have when it's going to start, what's in the kit, who's teaching it, what techniques you'll learn, how to register, and all of that information. And then after registration closes, there's a period of time to allow the teacher to get the materials in, assemble the kits, and mail them to the students. And then the class begins. And you get a lesson every week for the duration of the class. Some classes are longer, some classes are shorter. The class that I'm about to teach through Shining Needle is Ablaze, and it's going to be an 8-week class. And the registration period is already closed for that one. And it's a county campus. But she also, there's surface embroidery classes. There's some ornaments. There's all kinds of stuff. And you can look through, once you've joined, you can look at past photos of past projects and things like that. And lots of people are teaching through Shining Needle Society. It's an excellent way to have access to a class if you aren't a member of a guild, or there's not a shop close to you that's offering classes, and that way you can take classes.
Yeah, I think that's the most valuable thing there, because there just are a lot of people anymore who don't have a shop near them. And there's just a parade. I found it through Yahoo when I first signed up. I found it a little clunky to get there and get registered. Mm-hmm. You know, I don't think Yahoo worries too much about the interface for their groups. But I fought through it. And then once you get on the list, then your email, then everything kind of takes care of itself in terms of getting notified. And it's pretty slick after that. I've never done a class, but I get the feed of the emails, and you can just tell it's pretty straightforward once you get an account set up. And but it's pretty amazing what they trot through there in terms of classes. You can, and it looks like, from what I can tell, it looks like all of the teachers are really excellent with support all the way through the class, answering questions, and it looks like it's just really well run all the way around. Yeah.
Yeah, and you know, every teacher conducts their classes their own way, and when I'm doing a class, I will put all of the diagrams up for that week's lesson and the chart, the overall chart, so that you can enlarge it on your computer screen to see much bigger than you can printed.
Yeah.
And I also post the links to the videos so that you can see the videos for how to do a particular stitch. And I'm available to answer questions. The way, even after the class ends, people can still email me, ask me questions. The lessons remain in a special classroom is set up for each class. And if you have registered for that class, then you are invited to join that classroom. And all of the files and the photos and everything else stay in the classroom for, I think, 2 years.
Oh.
So you could, you know, the class that I am about to start teaching, I think we're going to start it like May the 1st or something like that. But if you can't stitch it then or stitch along every week, it's fine. The lessons are still going to be in the classroom for when you are ready to stitch it. And I've also had some people who signed up to take a class and finished the project before the class actually started because the materials came in and they were excited about it and just started stitching.
And you know, people like ahead. That, you know, people like that just rub me the wrong way. The class is starting. You know, I'm done.
Yes, I'm already finished. I've had that happen in an in-person class too. I was teaching a class with one of my local EGA chapters, and we were going to do it over several months because they only wanted to stitch about 15, 20 minutes at a time in each meeting. And I said, okay, that's fine because I'm going to be at the meeting anyway, so we'll just do it that way.
Yeah.
So I started, we did the first meeting at 1 month. The next month, one of the students came back. She had completely finished that one and started it in a different color way.
Oh, for crying out loud.
I was just funny. It was just funny.
Yeah. Yeah. Hey, more power to them, but they just rubbed me the wrong way. I had enough time to do one section this week. How about you? Oh, I finished it. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I finished it. Started another one.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. Now, just to be clear, if I sign up for a class, all the stuff is in the classroom, but I also get your usual booklet of instructions with all the diagrams and everything, right? I mean, that...
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yes.
So you don't have to go to the class, sign on to the class to get the instructions. You also have the... just as if you bought it in a store.
As if you were sitting in a room taking a class with me in person, you would get the book... You get the canvas, you get all of the threads, and I'm available to answer questions just like if you were in a physical classroom with me.
Yeah. Yeah. Because it came to mind just reading some of the Facebook groups, and it seems like a growing number of people who will post and say, I'm out here in the hinterlands. There's not a store within 3 hours. You know, where can I go? What can I get? And, mm-hmm. You know, of course, the usual mention is American Needlepoint Guild or, here on in this Facebook group or some stitch along. But then there's this Shining Needle Society with just this parade of stuff that really is, mm-hmm. And available to everyone. So you don't have to join the American Needlepoint Guild or EGA or anything. You just got to sign in. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
So,
and you know, it's a great, I wish I'd thought of it, you know,
darn because, it.
I'm always thinking of how to reach the next generation of stitchers.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yep.
And it's not just coming up with projects that the next generation of stitchers might find appealing and want to stitch. It is how to reach them. Well, yeah. I look at my daughter and the people her age, which, you know, if I tell you how old she is, then you'll know how old I am. But anyway.
We all know you're 42, Debbie. Just, we all know that. So just move along.
Gee, I wish. But anyway, they're on their phones. If they need to learn how to do something, they look up a YouTube video for how to do it.
Yep. Yeah.
They are Googling things. And I think that to as much as I love in-person classes and seminars and things like that, I think that we need to be looking for other ways to reach people who don't have the funds, to travel to take a class don't have the time because, you know, their family situation, they've got young kids that they're ferrying back and forth to 18 soccer games every weekend, and or their job, or, you know, their husband is a shift worker and they're working opposite shifts so that someone's there to take care of the kids. You know, we've got to figure out a way to reach them where they are, because every generation on every continent throughout our culture, throughout our the history of the world, has done some kind of hand needle arts.
Yes.
And I don't want it to end with the next generation.
Right. Well, and that's just it. And we have the technology in spades to deliver the information. Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yep. Unlike any other generation, we have.
Exactly.
Yeah.
If anything, it should be easier.
It should be. But, you know, it's, we have to be engaging. We have to figure out ways to, you know, do things in shorter bursts of time. You know, like a 15 minutes here, 20 minutes there, not, you know, an 8 hour whatever, because they're not going to do that. And so I'm constant. We are considering doing classes on platforms that are not usually associated with stitching.
Mm-hmm.
Because there are several websites that offer classes in a lot of different things. Why not stitching?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, there's a lot of activity in the craft world in general.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, look at all the big box stores. I mean, they stay pretty active. So it's not like there's no interest in these kinds of activities. There's plenty of interest. And well, Margaret and I were in Michael's the other day because she wanted to get some flowers, you know, silk flowers for an arrangement. And I was just kind of wandering around after I checked to see if they had DMC on sale, which they didn't. So, you know, whatever. but I was just kind of making a mental note of the general age of people who were in the Michaels.
Yeah.
And the majority were younger people with kids.
Yeah.
And so there, you know, there's the future, and they're interested in these kinds of hand activities, make something out of nothing activities.
Yeah.
And no, I agree. Yeah. It's just a matter of finding the right vehicle to get the information to them. Yeah. Yep.
Yeah. I thought about getting my daughter-in-law has a wide circle of friends that have been friends. They've all been friends together for a long time. And I thought about one time when I was up there visiting to have her get together a focus group for me.
Mm.
So where I could talk to them about what motifs are you interested in? What kinds of things are you interested in? Because, you know, are they wanting monograms? Are they wanting to do home decor kinds of things? Are they want wearables? Are they wanting things that could be used as jewelry? What kinds of things would they be interested in stitching? And, you know, I haven't had opportunity to do that because, you know, of course, when I go up and see my daughter-in-law, there is this little guy there that kind of sucks up all of my attention.
Yep. Yep.
And so, you know, I'm more focused on playing with my grandbaby than I am with anything. I'm just mamaw when I'm up there instead of Debbie's his design. So.
Yep. Yep. Hey, we had an epiphany the other day. Speaking of grandkids, I'll go off on a left field tangent here. Speaking of using today's technology, because our kids are in St. Louis, and our daughter and son-in-law, they don't have room for us to stay with them, and because there's a big old house, but it's built like a big old house with small rooms, and I mean they just don't have the room, so we have to stay at a hotel. And then the light went on the other day. Wait a minute. We could go there for a week and do a B&B or something similar in the neighborhood And, you know, and Marga's already found a couple for less than $50 a night. So we could just go, because we can work anywhere. We don't care. And, right. And we could go and be there for not a lot of money and eat our daughter and son-in-law's food and
yeah,
and play with the grandkids, you know?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah.
You're eating all our food. Yeah, but you're not paying for a babysitter, so leave me alone and feed me. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Y'all go out, have a great time. We'll stay here with the kids.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because, you know, you're not going to St. Louis to see them. You're going to St. Louis to see the grandkids.
Right. Couldn't care less about them. Yeah.
Yeah. You've spent time with them.
Yeah. That's how
it
is.
You know all of their stories already.
Yep. Yeah. That's how it is. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So, yeah. Yep. Well, next time you're up here and you do that focus group, do let me know.
Okay.
Yeah. That'd be fun. Yep. All right, Debbie. Now we've covered not even half of what was on the list.
It's because we go off on too many. Right.
So, but you know, but then that means you just have to come back. So there you have it.
Okay. It's I'll just, let you twist my arm.
Just how it is. It's just how it is. All right.
That's how it is.
That's it. Thanks, Debbie. Really appreciate it.
Thank you.
Okay. Thank you for having me on again.
Yep. We'll be back Wednesday. Just Christine and me. Thanks for listening.
Care.